didn't know I was preaching tonight, did ya? I didn't either, actually. Thanks for coming, especially in this lousy weather we're having. We're so happy to see everybody, especially our Stoughton group and our family. One of the reasons we started attending church was because we wanted to raise our family to know God. And we have been so blessed, our children and grandchildren are not only serving God, but they're carrying on the burden of lost souls. I'm so thankful. After our first service at Calvary, I had my doubts about returning. I'm the doubting Thomas, as you might know. Oh, yes, please be seated. Now, one thing that Rich is not, he's not a doubting Thomas. He has more faith than a mustard seed, that's for sure. Amen? I thought God might call us to the mission field at one point, but little did I know that the mission field was Stoughton. Oh, yay for Stoughton. As his helpmate, my job is to make him look good. And I think I've done a pretty good job so far, don't you think? I'm put together a video of some slides, and as I was going through this mound of pictures for the slide presentation, I decided not only include the pictures of those that have found salvation through my husband's ministry, but also pictures of people who have been his mentors and his Christian examples throughout his ministry. So please enjoy this video.
Hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
That was awesome. I also want to, we have Pastor Dave Punzel here in honor, and their family's here. And then Brother Jeff Contreras. And Brother Chris Jansen here tonight. We have some folks that would like to take and just pay a little bit of tribute to what Pastor Thomas has meant to them. And first I'd like for his daughter, Renee Strand, if she would come. God bless you, Sister Renee.
This is going to be tough to get through. It's actually nice that it's kind of a smaller group because y'all feel like family. Want to thank this church for this opportunity to honor my dad. Thank you for all the opportunities you've given him to serve and to grow here. I'm so honored to say a few words of this great man of faith who I have the great honor and privilege of calling my dad. Some of you may wonder what it's like growing up in Pastor Thomas's house. As many of you know, my dad's a party waiting for a place to land. So growing up, it was an adventure. He would take my sister and I on treasure hunts, which was literally a walk around the block, but we'd have our little paper bags because he's like, you guys don't know what you're going to find. And we would be like, you're kidding. So, I mean, literally, we thought that quarters grew on trees because there was always money laying around on these walks until one day I realized he was flicking them out of his pocket. And I was like, he made me keep it a secret. Ashley believed it for another 2 years. Money was just everywhere. There was so much laughter in our house. There was so much. I mean, my dad can take the words of any song and turn it into a song about Jesus and sing them at the top of his lungs at 4:30 in the morning, every morning. I mean, when I would be sick, sometimes really sick, sometimes I just wanted to get out of going to school, and I knew if Mom had left for work, we were in trouble, because I'd be like, Dad, I'm sick. He'd be like, in the name of Jesus, you know? And then you're like, he's like, do you still feel sick? No, I'm better now. I mean, anything we would come to with him with, it would be just, when I was little and I invite little neighborhood friends to come to my house, I'd be like, oh, here we go. And within about an hour, they were in the living room receiving the Holy Ghost. I'm like, not joking at all. Yeah. And I'm just in the back like, praise God. I mean, it was awesome. It was so awesome. But I just knew if I was like, if they weren't saved, they weren't going to leave here not saved. They were going to get the Holy Ghost. If you're coming to Pastor Thomas's house, you won't get the HG. That's what's going to happen. And then in a more serious side, growing up, it was just normal to hear my dad praying all the time in the morning, at night. You would just hear him weeping and crying over lost souls. I mean, we would go downtown to the Capitol or downtown anywhere, and all of a sudden he would just be weeping and we're like, Dad, what's wrong? And he's like, oh, these people need Jesus. These people need to hear the word of God. And he really instilled that in us. He would take us door knocking, which is like, if you know anything about my dad, if you want to do ministry with my dad, he's going to take you out of your comfort zone, like way out of your comfort zone. And I did not like going to people's houses and knocking on their doors and sitting down. He would make us go. But what happened is that instilled in me a desire to see people saved and a desire to win the lost. And I thank you for that because you taught me that. And as an adult, I grew up just, he taught me so much about spiritual warfare. And when I met Noah had just come into the church and he's like, oh, you know, what do we do if we come under attack? And I'm like, and I'm like, let me tell you what my dad taught me. We say, in the name of Jesus. We take power and authority over anything that's happening in our life in the name of Jesus, because I grew up kicking the devil's behind. Like, that's just how we were raised. And I'm just, thank you so much for that. Just watching my dad give so much of himself to the community, to people in our church. I mean, I remember getting picked up from school, and I'm like, where are we going? He's like, this family needs groceries, and we're just going to go do that. And that's just what we're going to do. And that's what he was all about. Generous to a fault. I was speaking with my sister before we came in, and my dad never spoke a word against anyone in ministry, ever. And at the time, Ashley and I were talking about it, like, at the time it was like, it was just a thing. It was just how it was. But now in our own ministries, just knowing Pastor and the church, we've been talking about unity a lot and unity of the brethren, not having aught against anyone. And he would not speak. I remember we, Ashley and I, went to Christian school, and we'd come home and be like, do you know what Strauss, what our teachers, and it wasn't parable. And my dad said, don't you dare speak against your leaders. I'm like, but they were wrong. He's like, I don't care. And seriously, if we would get demerits in school, and I would keep myself at like 2, because if we had 3, we would get a detention slip. And if that detention slip came home, he'd look at it, and he'd look at me. He'd say, did you apologize? I'm like, Dad, did you apologize? So I would, if I got 3 demerits, I would be like, Sister Rossing, I'm sorry. I would just cut the whole thing out. He's going to make me apologize. But what he taught me was that leadership was something to be respected, and we don't speak against our leaders. And I just want to say how much I appreciate that. Because of you, I know how to pray. Because of you, I know how to pray with people at the altar and watch them be saved. Because of you, I now go into a room and I look at who's there, and I'm like, man, we need to preach the gospel. And because of you, I know what faith is. It means, Mom said you had the faith of a mustard seed. It's more like a mustard tree. That's how I view your faith. And I just thank you so much for instilling that in me and my family. And that will never leave because of all the wonderful teachings. And I just love you so much. And thank you for being my dad.
Thank you, Sister Renee. We have... Now, the good thing about being able to kind of MC tonight is I've spent a lot of time with Pastor Thomas, and we spent a lot of time in fishing boats together. And we were fishing in Canada one year, and you know, when you eat a lot and you drink a lot when you're in a boat, sooner or later, Mother Nature just comes calling. And we're up in this cove, and Mother Nature was calling, and Rich lays his fishing pole over the edge of the boat, and I'm like, I don't know if I would do that, because the bass were jumping, and sure enough, he's like, it'll be all right, it'll be all right. And it was just a few seconds, and his fishing pole goes on its way out of the boat. Brother Thomas is trying to figure out, what do I do next? And I'm there with my video camera, just videoing it all. I'm like, this is going to come. This is going to get me some points down the road. I love you, Rich Thomas. I'll fish with him over anybody because it's exciting. We had a lot of fun, a lot of fun. We have Brother John Rivest. Where's Brother John Rivest? There he is. Brother John Rivest has a few words he'd like to say.
Praise the Lord. I was just talking to Pastor Thomas in the vestibule, and he mentioned a term that I haven't heard for many years, and I haven't thought about it for many years, but I had it written in here, so it's pretty cool. But what a man that we are here to honor tonight in Pastor Rich Thomas. Pastor Thomas is someone that I have looked up to for many, many years. When I was asked to share a few words about Pastor Thomas, the first thing that popped into my head was, what a man. And you can take that statement a few different ways, because this man, he's unique. Very unique. But however, when I say what a man, I mean it in the utmost respect. I first met Pastor Thomas, it was late 1995, somewhere in that vicinity. And I was a new convert at CGC, struggling to figure out who I was and what I needed to do. And brought in some baggage into the church with me, some poor choices that I made, and I was just really struggling. And Pastor Thomas spent a lot of time with me, and he just kind of waded through all of that stuff that I was trying to figure out, and he addressed the problem that was most important in my life at that time, and that was receiving the Holy Ghost. And we spent many, many times after service, and this at this time, the service was held in the fellowship hall because this auditorium that we're in was not built yet at the time. So at altar call service, we would go into room 119, my famous room 119, and we would we would go in there and do what he called rapture practice. And we would just go in there and just jump around and praise God, and I thought, well, this is cool, okay. But it was just his way of helping me relax and just seek God. And instead of just me saying, God, I need this, I need this, I need this, it was just his way of just helping me relax and just build a relationship with God that was most important. So, and, well, it worked. It worked. So over the years, I've spent many, many hours in Pastor Thomas's office, at his house, sharing a meal, sharing a cup of coffee, asking questions, just listening to a story that he's had. And he's full of so many stories. Probably even borrowed a few books from you, and I'm pretty sure you never got them back. So please forgive me. And because of all this time that he was willing to invest in me, I have grown by leaps and bounds over the years. At least I feel I have, and I hope God thinks that I have. So Pastor Thomas, thank you. What a man. The impact that he has had on my family cannot be easily measured. As I've already noted that he has helped me grow, but here's where my appreciation really skyrockets. Pastor Thomas took the time to spend hour after hour after hour with my father, who was dying of cancer. Just spent time with him, talked to him. And he just talked to my dad about, this is probably it. This is probably the end of your life coming up shortly. So what are you going to do? And I would recall that he later told me that he and my dad would just sit there and recite the only prayer that my dad knew. Do you remember what that is? The Our Father. My dad, we have a Catholic background, so that's what my dad knew, the Our Father. So just simply reciting scripture, helping my dad come closer to God. And I think I skipped a part here. This is hard. Because of Pastor Thomas's efforts and the love that he showed my father, I can say that Ken Rivest was baptized in the name of Jesus in his own bathtub close to the end of his life. And the person who baptized him, Pastor Thomas. What a man. The day after my father passed away, it was kind of a sad time. My oldest brother, Rick, was telling me how a few days before this that he had stayed up all night with my dad, and my dad was really irritated, agitated, probably in a lot of pain. But Rick described him as speaking in what he called baby talk or gibberish. And Rick was thinking this was just my dad fading away. And I got a huge smile on my face because I told Rick, I said, you know what this is. You've heard us talk about this. This is Dad received the Holy Ghost. So, Pastor Thomas, thanks to you for the time that you spent with my father, God was able to reach in and grab him right at the last minute. What a man. A few years later, my oldest son, Sam, was finishing his junior year in high school. And to put it plainly, Sam was having a crisis of faith, as many teenagers do. Jessica and I would talk with Sam, try to give him advice, steer him in the right direction. But sometimes your loved one or your child just needs a different voice. Same message, just a different voice. So, well, conveniently one afternoon, Sam was with us here at church. We were doing something, and we just happened to arrange a meeting with Pastor Thomas in his office. And after that, Sam described the meeting as something that he didn't like to hear, was not fun, but he needed to hear it. So shortly after that, Sam had a huge breakthrough in faith and his relationship with God, and he has never looked back. So, Pastor Thomas, for your godly counsel, thank you. What a man. And you do realize we have Kenley, who is almost a teenager, so we'll schedule some time with you. We'll get you on the calendar. So as I stand here today, knowing Pastor Thomas is a faithful man of God, the city of Stoughton has received a tremendous blessing. So for all of us here, and I know our attendance is down a little bit because of the weather, but for all of us here, I'm wondering if this man's ministry has touched you in any way, or your family in any way, a kind word, a prayer, a meeting, would you please just stand? Praise God. Praise God. Let's do this on the count of three. Let's give him a what a man. One, two, three. What a man. What a man of God.
Thank you, Brother Rivest. We have one more gentleman that would like to say a few words. In honor of Pastor Thomas, that is Brother Blake George.
Amen. I got 10 minutes. No, they told me 5. But I wore my tie. I wore my boots. I know I got a tie on. Rich, just for you. Amen. You know, all those adventures and faith that Renee talked about, I went on many, many of them with Rich. We were in the middle of Simpson Street with casting out devils, praying people through the Holy Ghost. You think it was hard, it was fun. Very fun. When you get that deep with God and things are happening, you know what it was like when God called things to happen, calm storms. You think it's nerve-wracking, it is. Rich is pushing you out of your comfort zone, but all the time God's right in front of you, and it's like on a roller coaster. And it's exciting, fun, and scary all at the same time. So when Rich asked me to go to Stoughton with him and help him, I was like, I like roller coasters for Jesus. You know, God gave me a vision, and when I went to Stoughton, it's a very simple vision. And to know Rich, and what you're hearing is there's the very, very serious side of Rich, and then there's the very, very fun and exciting side of Rich. So God said, you know, Blake, Rich is going to burn up some trails like the Old West. He's going to get on his horse, and he's going to go, Blake, there's some Indians in the far quadrant. I'm out of here. And then I'm going to be sitting, he said, but you're going to be sitting there holding this canteen and be like, Rich, you forgot your canteen. Now, you think that's funny. First day we're there, Rich is like, where's my wallet? I think I lost my phone. I had it right there for him. Then, It wasn't. The most recent one was we built that whole church, and we had a key for Rich's office. And I looked at Gary Graper, and I said, he's going to need this. Didn't I say that? We put it right on top of the emergency exit sign. Rich locks himself out of his office. He's ready to break the window. He calls Gary, and Gary goes, there's a key right above the emergency exit sign. Blake put it there for you. And then last Sunday, he lost his keys, and we looked all over the church. And I'm like, I bet you he put them in this drawer because he had to get the thing to unlock the thing. It was buried in the drawer. And I found his keys after we looked all over. And Rich goes, of course they're in the drawer. That's where I always put them. Now, I'm not making fun of Rich at all because, yes, I am. No, I'm not, John. But Rich will be the first one to admit it is true. Peggy makes him look great. But what everybody else knows about Rich is nobody has the faith that Rich Thomas has. Not very few I've ever met. And there's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of fishing. Everything I'm going to talk about starts with an F. But most of all, Rich is a friend, if you know anything, to sinners. If you looked at that video, everybody was smiling. Everybody was laughing. Everybody was having a good time. And Rich has been a friend time and time, and even the kind words of John Rivas is, Rich, you were a friend first to me. And Jesus, of all the things Jesus was, he was a friend of sinners. Amen. The next thing Rich is a father. There's no two ways about it. Maybe he didn't have the best father. Maybe he never felt like he himself. But to me and many other men in this church, he has been a father and a mentor. If you look and you watch all of those videos, you'll see time and time and time again, like John said, thank you for the hours you put into me. Thank you for the hours you put into my family. And so it's not uncommon, you know, when men come into the church and a lot of us have to give up all our friends that cause us to do all these sins. Many times we have to give up our family, and we need direction from a father figure. And I will say Rich Thomas has been that person time and time and time again for probably hundreds of people. Amen. But more than that, like Renee said, he's faithful and he's a builder of faith. He can build your faith. And the reason why is Rich is always doing great things for God is because, like Renee said, he's always talking to God. He's always thinking about God. He's going on vacation to Jamaica. Guess what he's going to do? He's going to do some stuff for God in Jamaica. We won a guy named Omar who was in the video, and Rich is going to check up on Omar. Because that's what Rich Thomas does. He's always, always, always working for God. And he's not weary in well-doing. Amen? But if it all ended right now, Rich, for you, God would say, well done, faithful servant. Amen? So if you die tonight, amen. Anything could happen with Rich. He could be raptured. But there's a but in that, Rich. There really is. Because God could have said, Rich, I could take you home right now. But I got one more thing for you to do, and that's go build a church in Stoughton. Amen? So at 75, Rich went out, and like I said, asked me to come along with him. We had 67 people last Sunday in church. Amen. Yeah. So the story's not going to end here tonight. For a lot of people, you know, it would be go home and watch Oprah die on your couch, but not Rich. Rich is not retiring. No, he is going forward and going to do something great and already has something great. And so in all seriousness, there's going to be another retirement party. Amen. And hopefully instead of 20, 30 people, there probably will be 200 or 300 people here from Stoughton in Jesus' name. Amen. Rich, in all seriousness, I love you. You have spoken into my life. You have built faith in my life. You have been a father to me. You've been a friend to me. And all the time, and I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy your leadership, your direction. And like Renee said, I have never heard Rich say a bad word about anybody. Amen. We all have our bad days, but Rich doesn't have many of them. And it's an honor to work with you in Stoughton. In Jesus' name.
Thank you very much, Brother Blake. I want to just, if I can, just for a few minutes here, in honor of a great mentor in my life. I hope I can get through this, Brother Rich. But I just want to turn to a passage of Scripture, Ezekiel 22:34, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. And I'd just like to, as a mentor, as a friend, a confidant, I'd just like to just dedicate this, if I could, to you, Rich. Joshua Chamberlain was born on September 8th of 1828 in Brewer, Maine. His mother instilled in him some very religious, devotional foundation of religion when he was young. He grew up in a congregational church while his father passed on a deep interest in the military. As a child, Joshua Chamberlain was a very shy young boy, and he stammered. He never really fully overcame his stammering, and as an adult, he spoke with an unusual pacing. As a young man, Chamberlain worked in a brickyard and in the timber industry before taking a job teaching in 1846. A studious young man, however, he set his sights on college and began to prepare the harder subjects. He studied Greek, Latin, and rhetoric. Chamberlain was accepted into Bowdoin College in Brunswick, Maine in 1848, and he graduated in 1852. He then spent 3 years at the Bangor Theological Seminary. But after completing his training there, he took a teaching job at Bowdoin instead of working as a minister. On December 7th of 1855, he married Frances, or Fanny Adams, of whom he had been engaged to for several years, and Joshua and Fanny had 5 children. Chamberlain was teaching at Bowdoin during the years leading up to the Civil War, and as the United States was plunged into its Civil War, it was on August 8th of 1862 that Chamberlain was appointed lieutenant colonel, or second in command, of the 20th Maine Volunteer Infantry Regiment. The 20th Maine was present at several significant battles, but was best remembered for its key role in the Battle of Gettysburg. Here Joshua Chamberlain was at that time had been promoted to a colonel and in the command of the regiment. And on July 2nd, the second day of fighting in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, he and his troops came face to face with the Confederate soldiers at Little Round Top after harsh days of fighting. Chamberlain led a bayonet charge and successfully secured their part of the hill for the Union. Chamberlain was probably most famous for his achievements during the Battle of Gettysburg. You see, he was raised in a humble home, had a humble beginning, a man that most people would not expect to experience or become a great military force in battle. But on the second day of that battle, the Union forces were recovering from a number of setbacks, and they had hastily regrouped into defensive positions on a line of hills south of Gettysburg. Sensing the momentary vulnerability of the Union forces, the Confederate began to attack against the Union left flank. Chamberlain's brigade, commanded by Colonel Strong Vincent, was sent to defend Little Round Top at all costs.
Chamberlain found himself in the 20th Maine at the far left end of the entire Union line, and he quickly understood the strategic significance of such a small piece of property. Out of all of the area around Gettysburg, this small piece of property, Little Round Top, would become a pinnacle, pivotal point in a non-significant area of in the Civil War. And he'd need the need for the 20th Maine to hold that point at all costs. If this particular point, if this particular area in the battlefield falls, then this whole entire Union army would be outflanked by the Confederates. And time again, the Confederate army struck until the 20th Maine was almost doubled back upon itself. With so many casualties and ammunition running low, Colonel Chamberlain recognized the dire circumstances and ordered his left wing, which was now looking southeast compared to the rest of the regiment, which was facing west, to initiate a bayonet charge. From the report of the day, at that crisis, I ordered the bayonet, and the word was enough. Well, battlefield conditions make it unlikely that many men would have heard Chamberlain's order. Most historians believe that he personally himself had led the charge. The 20th Maine charged down the hill with the left wing wheeling continually to make the charging line swing like a hinge on a gate, and thus creating a simultaneous front assault and a flanking maneuver. And in this maneuver was able to capture 101 of the Confederate soldiers and successfully saving the flank, thus saving the day. And many historians believe not only saved the day, but saved the Union. I look at some 35-plus years ago here at Calvary Gospel Church. Pastor Thomas, we were going through some tough times. Many of you probably weren't even here, don't even remember. They had just built a new home in Soton. Pastor Thomas was running a very successful multi-million-dollar business working at Findorff, his company. Things were going very well for Richard Thomas. He had answered the calling of God and was in the process of starting a church in Stoughton. Shortly after Bible studies began in their new home, he received a call from our then pastor, John Grant, offering him a position as assistant to the pastor here at Calvary Gospel Church. But little did he know at that time that God was preparing him for much greater things than he had ever experienced. Sometimes, Pastor T, God just works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? Shortly after accepting the position, little did he know that he would be a man that the church would rely on, and rely on him very heavily. You see, he gave up his business to come to work, gave up a business very lucrative, making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, to work here for Calvary Gospel Church for absolutely nothing. I'm glad to say we were able to pay him as time went on. But you see, shortly after accepting the position, little did he know and little did our current pastor know that he would come down with a very rare form of cancer. As our family received the news and went through all of this, it was Pastor Thomas that came up to me one night after service and put his arms around me, gave me a big hug and said, God's going to get us through this. It was his faith. It was his caring, taking me under his wing. And it wasn't long after the cancer, I remember meeting Pastor Thomas up at the hospital. My dad had had a heart attack. And the first person that I met when I walked into the room, my brother and I, as we walked into the room over my dad, and he was praying, was Pastor Richard Thomas. He had come through for the church, stepping in a time where that the church needed someone to step in. And I want to thank Pastor Thomas for stepping in. But it wasn't just the second heart attack. My father would go through two more bouts of two different types of cancers and chemotherapy over the next 4, 5, 6, 7 years. I forget how many years it went, but it was during that time that Pastor Thomas began to take and grow and leadership, because God was preparing him for something much, much greater. He became a mentor to many of our young ministers. He became a mentor to myself and to my wife. As we went through transitions, we went through about 4.5 years ago, we had a transition where then my wife and I became the senior pastor here at Calvary Gospel Church. And I remember him coming up to me afterwards and giving me a big hug and calling me boss, which seemed to be very odd at the time because I struggled with that because I looked up to this man. But Rich, I can't say enough of the blessings that you have been to my wife and I as we struggle to grow into where God has placed us. You have been there. You have made those phone calls, those breakfast meetings that we've had and the lunches that we've had. I remember the day that you came into my office and you had tears in your eyes, and we had just finished a 21-day fast. We had a lot of times of laughing. We had a lot of times of crying. I like to say we laughed, we cried, and we ate pie. Every trip to Canada, last trip we went to Canada, Sister Thomas said, listen, Rich can go, but you have to drive the Tahoe and you have to drive the boat. Because Rich just had a way of just getting himself into a little bit of trouble at the Canadian boat landings. They are difficult. And we drove up there and spending all of that time, and it was mandatory that we had to stop and get pie at Osseo. There was no way. It was Norsky's Nork or whatever. What was this called? Norsky's Nook. There we go. We'll get it. Got to be careful how you say that. You might get yourself in trouble. But he came into my office after the fast, and he asked if he could stay home an additional week and just pray and fast. I thought, well, if you want to fast for 28 days, that's fine. I'm not going to stop you from that, but I'm not going to join you, okay? He came back in at the end of that week, and he was weeping and crying, and he sat down, and he said, I don't know what to do. I said, well, what's on your mind? What's troubling you? He said, you know, he said, all those years ago that God called me to Stoughton. I said, yeah. He says, boy, God is calling me to go back to Stoughton and start a church. But I'm 75 years old. You see, God called Rich Thomas all those years ago to stand in the gap for our pastor and for Calvary Gospel Church. But you see, now he's raised you up, Pastor Thomas, for such a time as this. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. And I found Richard P. Thomas, a powerful prayer warrior, a man of great faith, aging in years, but ready to take on the battle. Standing in the gap for the lost souls of Stoughton, Wisconsin, God's calling to Stoughton. You stood in the gap for Calvary Gospel Church, and now you're standing in the gap for Stoughton United Pentecostal Church. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please stand in honor of Richard P. Thomas. Come on up, brother. Peggy, come on up, Peggy. We have a small gift, appreciation for all the years of service that you have rendered here to Calvary Gospel Church. And There's no way we could ever repay you in full the sacrifice that you've made. But this is enough to get you to Osseo and get you as much pie as you would ever be able to eat as long as you should live. I want to turn the rest of this over to Pastor Thomas and let him share a few words with us.
Praise God. Let's give the Lord a great big hand clap. He is worthy. Praise God. This is a very emotional time for me. You could be seated. I'm overwhelmed. I'm not sure what to say. I'm just thankful for this church, for the training and the blessings that I received here. This is overwhelming. I want to thank our bishop, John W. Grant, and my pastor, Roy Grant, for believing in me. And anytime a 76-year-old guy walks into your office and he said, "I believe in you," you have no idea. I was terrified, but the Holy Ghost came down, and it was really amazing. I want to thank Brother Punzel's here. I think he's here. Wave your hand. I just want to tell you how this came to pass. I was at an amazing conference in Janesville, Wisconsin, put on by Brother and Sister Punzel and their church. And I wasn't expecting anything from that conference. I did not go there because I thought I had another church in me. But I got to that conference, and the last service at the last altar call, I waited till everybody came up to the front, because I said, look at all these young guys going up there. Because the preacher said, "I believe somebody is being called to another city." And I'm thinking, okay. look at them flock up there. I was the last person to go up there, and I'm just kind of meandering up there, kind of chuckling to myself. And Bishop Putnam came up to me, and he put his hand on my forehead, and he began to pray, and God instantly spoke to my heart. And he said, "I have not released you from your call to Stoughton. Go back." That's all I got. I had no idea what God had in mind. I didn't do anything, but I just went. And God has provided just an amazing thing. But the time here, some of you young folks are aspiring to the ministry. Take advantage of this time. And Brother Irv Manley, when I was feeling my first call to the ministry, and I was at the height of my success, if you want to call it that, in the world of business. And I said, "Brother Manley, it doesn't seem possible that at age 40 years old, a guy would be calling me into the ministry." And he didn't hesitate. It's just like God had already given the answer. He said, "Brother Thomas, why don't you do this? Why don't you prepare yourself as if you're going to be called into the ministry? And if you never get behind a pulpit, or you never get your own church, you will be very effective in the kingdom of God." So I want to just give that advice to some of you young men and women who are reaching out for your ministry. Just prepare yourself. When your preparation meets God's opportunity, God will provide you a church and a burden. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Punzel, for having the courage to put on that seminar. And if you've never been down there, let me tell you something. Your life will be changed if you're thinking about going into the ministry. Praise God. It was a blessing. I want to thank all my family members. Wow. To brave this weather and come out here, this is just amazing. I love all of you. I know there's others that are watching. I want to say hello to Wayne Backus in Florida through the multimedia vision of Calvary Gospel Church. Hi, Wayne. He said he'd be watching tonight. Wayne has been an awesome friend. I'd like to also thank the team from CGC that Pastor Roy Grant approved to go down with me. I couldn't have surrounded, if I could have picked these men, but I wanted to let God pick them. Just a little correction on Blake's story. I didn't ask him. When he heard what was going to go on, he asked me. And I say that in all respect to Blake, because in John Gemeinder and his family, and Gary Graper and his family, listen, this is a God thing, and I'm so thankful that I've been asked to be part of this team. Praise God. And there's going to be a church here, but my vision goes past Stoughton. I'm looking at Oregon. I'm looking at Albion. I'm looking at Edgerton. We need more churches. God's not raising all of you up just to sit here at Calvary Gospel Church. Praise God. And I know that your pastor and the team that he has around him, that there's going to be some miraculous things happen here at Calvary Gospel Church. But it's not going to happen here. It's going to be happening there, Wanakee, Marshall, Deerfield. I mean, it's just going to happen because you're preparing yourself. But somebody's going to have to step out of the boat. Someone's going to have to say, I can't take it anymore. It doesn't seem possible that God would use me. But listen, he will use you if you're willing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We have won 35 souls since December 10th of 2018 at Stoughton. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. There is one very special person in my life that's here tonight. I'd like to give honor to someone who's always standing in the background and always willing to do whatever needs to be done, and that's my wife, Peggy Thomas. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I'm a very spontaneous person. I've moved 7 times in 15 years. She's went along with all my craziness. trust me, there's some crazy things that I thought of. But she just believed in me, and she stuck by me. And she's a very consistent saint of God. She worked 18 years Calvary Gospel Church Sunday School Department and loved it. She didn't want to leave. And then Bishop called her into his office and said, I believe God wants to use you in the altar ministry. She says, oh, no, not me. I don't think that would be my ministry. Well, hundreds of souls later, we found out that the bishop had it right. She is just an amazing, amazing lady. She worked 20 years with a weekly reminder. She's organized our Secret Pal ministry. And God has taken Sister Thomas and myself on a very wild ride. And she stuck with me through all of it. She's a very tough woman. You know, my testimony is, I think most of you know that. But when I was 38 years old, God began to deal with me. I had lost my wife and family and down in Florida. I had a very lucrative business in Florida, and that was stripped from me. I was broken. I was shattered. I came back to Madison, my hometown, and lo and behold, God saw fit to take my health. And I'm telling you, it's the best thing that ever happened to me is when God kept pulling things from me that I thought were very important until I didn't have anything. You know, it's very different when you have a pocket full of money and you have all these things going for you, but suddenly I didn't have anything, and I thought that was it. There's nothing else to take. But what he was doing is preparing my soul to be humble enough to receive Jesus Christ. I didn't even believe there was a God. My thought was, if there is a God, why didn't he just call me up and say, hey, Rich, come on, let's go. Didn't work that way. You have to come to him. And I woke up one morning about 3 o'clock in the morning. I didn't believe there was a God. There was a voice that came in my room that was so loud and so penetrating. I jumped up, and all the voice said was, "There is a God." And that was about 2 weeks later. I'm laying in St. Mary's Hospital, and they tell me that I'm dying of leukemia or spinal meningitis or some bad things happening. And is anybody here ever thought about dying? I'm sure some of you have. But listen to me when I tell you this. You knew God more likely. I didn't know God, and God put a desire in my heart when Bishop Grant and Darlene, his sidekick, came up and they prayed for me. Every symptom I had left my body. You know, my life fell apart not because of anything else but other than my poor choices in life. The Bible says, as a man sows, shall he reap. I was the original poster boy for Humpty Dumpty. There was nothing left to me. And then he took my health, and it was really gone. 12 days I spent in St. Mary's Hospital, but I decided to come to Calvary Gospel Church on Milwaukee Street. And what I wanted to do was just thank this pastor, who I didn't know why he'd take his time to come up and visit me and pray for me. When you're dying, I had never prayed before that I could recall. But there he was. It was there right at the time that I needed him. The second time I came to church, God talked to me in a way that I've never been talked to before. He grabbed a hold of me and he drove me to the altar. I was down at the altar for over an hour. I could not get up. I repented and I repented and I repented. I was a rascal of rascals, so he wouldn't let me up. He kept pushing me back down, and I was weeping and crying, and I had fluids coming out of every. It was not pretty. My wife thought I was having a mental breakdown, but I was. I was getting rid of the old mind, and I was getting a brand new mind. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm so thankful for every bad thing that I thought was bad turned into the good of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was stood up, and someone laid hands on me. Would you believe? I didn't just speak in tongues. I started singing in tongues. And that's kind of horrible when you hear my voice, but I'm telling you, what a tremendous. And then I was baptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. You know, when people, I grieve when people are baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost and they don't get it. They don't understand what's happened to them. Every habit, everything that was in my life that was causing me problems left. The spirit of alcohol, the spirit of drugs, all the things that were compelling me to do what I was doing. I came out of that water. Every sin I'd ever committed was gone. Every spirit that had caused me all these. Oh, I remember walking over to Woodman's, and I asked Peggy, I said, "Are my feet touching the ground?" I literally had never felt this good in my whole life. So if you're here tonight, I don't know how many people are here tonight that have never been baptized and filled with God's Holy Spirit. But you know what I'm seeing? There's more people that are baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, Pastor Roy. They've never experienced the fullness of God, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the freedom to feel what you should be feeling. The devil doesn't give up on you when you're baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's when the battle starts. Praise God. And I'm thankful for the folks that surrounded me when I was first baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. The Rossins took me in, and others took me to their home. Become a mentor to the new people in this church. Become a friend and a brother. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just overwhelmed. This is so such a beautiful thing that you've allowed me to experience here. And I'm looking forward to start my new ministry when I'm 80. I'm going to start the Moses phase. Praise God. I want to thank Pastor Roy and the staff here. They've done a remarkable job, and my family and friends and the Life's real journey begins at retirement. Amen.
I just want to thank again. I'm just excited about where God's taking us. I'm excited where God's taking Pastor Thomas and Sister Thomas, but I'm excited where God's taking this entire church. And it's just a real honor and a privilege to take and be a part of this. And what I want to do here tonight, I want to have just going to extend an opportunity for anyone that wants to pray, but at the conclusion of this, I'd like for Pastor and Sister Thomas. It was Simpson this morning and Simmons. Now it's Thompson and Thompson. Thomas. I don't know what's going on inside my head, but it's thinking about pie. That's what it's thinking about. I can tell you that. Coconut cream about this thick. I just blew the altar call. But it wouldn't be right, I think, to finish this. You know, God has done he's done so many amazing things for so many people in this congregation. And he desires to continue to do amazing things. And the neat part about it is God has placed us all here together as a team. We're his body. We got almost sounds morbid. We got body parts in Stoughton and got body parts in Marshall, and man, we just got Waupun. We got Fort Atkinson over there in Elkhorn. We're just scattered all over, man. But we're not dismembered. Do you know that? We're all part of God's body. And he's got members scattered all over the globe. He's got a whole body that's below ground that's already come and gone. That's the awesome part about the body of Christ. So I'm just going to open up this altar. I just want us to just come down and just, you know, join together with one another. He wants us to thank God for our brothers, our sisters, what each brother, sister, means. If you want to pray, you got something that's bothering you, something you need to get, certainly take time to pray, but I want us to just pray one for another. Pray that God would strengthen. We've got a number of churches represented here. Just going to mingle, and when we're finished praying, Brother and Sister Thomas will be out in the vestibule and shake their hands, greet them. They're not going anywhere. They're still going to be here. They're just moving from Calvary Gospel Church to Stoughton. Okay, and Pastor Thomas would like to get a group picture of all the folks that are with them tonight in the vestibule after we close here. God bless you. Let's just worship together.